We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. I'm Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God. Today we are going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, continuing to look at the Lord's ability to deliver. And we've talked about this in chapter 2, about the four things that God is able to deliver us from. He's able to deliver us from false teachers. He is able to deliver us from those things that are so dangerous to us that it would derail God's redemptive plan. You can see that in verses 4 through 6. You can see that God was able to deliver righteous Lot from the filthy conduct of the wicked. That's in verse number 7. Even though he was dwelling among them, his righteous soul was tormented from day to day. Every day he saw and heard the things that were going on. And then in verse number 9 is the fourth one. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So there is also a second aspect of that deliverance. Not only does he know to deliver the godly out of temptations, but like we've talked about earlier with the angels and with the people of Noah's time and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says in verse number 9, let me start reading in verse number 7. It says, "And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." So we are going to start off talking about another aspect of God's deliverance today, but then we are going to transition into this study on what do the people of God look like that God delivers, and what do the people who are not delivered, who are still bound, and they are headed for a day of judgment, what does the behavior in their life look like? And I'm just going to preach the word to you here, teach the word to you. You can make your own decisions and applications. Like I've said on here before, the word of God is my standard. I don't try and twist it, contort it, distort it to make it fit my theology. I just lay the word of God out there. And if there's a difference between the word and my theology is the one that has got to change. I'm not going to make the word go into contortions because it fits a better condition in one of my loved one's life. I'm not going to twist or distort or contort the word of God to make it fit with the way that society tells it. The word of God is the only thing that is settled forever. Man's opinion comes, goes, it changes with the wind, but God's word is settled forever. So we're going to look at some of that stuff today. And we do want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Creative AC Solutions. I don't have their phone numbers in front of me today. We want to thank Jits Concrete. And we also want to thank Creative AC Solutions for all of their help. All of them have done work at our church in this past year. And we recommend them highly. If you'd like to know how to get a hold of them, contact us at the church and let us know, and we would be thrilled to be able to give that information to you. So let's look here at verse number 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now remember, he has been talking about how God was able to differentiate between the wicked and the godly. There was a distinction in the way he dealt with Noah and the people who did not believe Noah's preaching. There was a distinction between the way he treated Lot and his family as opposed to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse number 9, it says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. At Merit Assembly of God, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. That may not make everybody happy, but I am very comfortable with my theology. I believe it lines up with the Word of God. I'm not naive enough to believe that there are not other people who hold differing views that also can find scriptures. Now, there are some other views that people have about the return of Christ, and I just can't make the Word of God stretch as far as they do in those aspects. But I do understand where some people would come from a midterm rapture, but I want to focus on the pre-trib rapture, because even though God says in this world you will have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, there is a distinction between the tribulation that the world brings upon God's people and the tribulation that God brings. God's not going to bring tribulation upon the people who are living the way that he wants them to live, walking in covenant with him. That would be a horrible way to parent, and God is not a horrible parent. You know, when my kids did something wrong, it wasn't that they all got in trouble across the board, unless they had all done something. It was the person who had been incorrect. When I was growing up, I deserved to get in trouble, probably more than I got in trouble. It's always amazing to me. People want to say, hey, you know, I don't deserve this. Well, I want to ask you today, have you ever deserved something but you didn't get it? And if that's the case, then you should be thanking God for his mercy. And then if you are in trouble from someone, if you're being chastised by somebody for something you didn't do, then you should ask God for the grace to go through this, because you don't deserve it. Make sure that your character is of such that it is able to withstand any accusation that comes your way. So the Lord knows how to deliver. I believe that there is a distinction between the way that God is going to deal with people who have rejected his authority, who have rebelled against his word, who have opposed the Spirit of the living God at every turn, and they have operated with anarchy and lawlessness and have opposed God at every turn. There was a time where a person told me, or actually they didn't tell me, they told my wife, they said, this is a long, long time ago, so I don't want you to think that this reflects the current condition at Merit Assembly of God, but they said, you know, the reason that I am here at this church is to oppose the pastor. And that was quite enlightening. And they had some things that came up in their life. They moved on down the road, and even though I considered them a great friend, and eventually there was repentance on their part and reconciliation in that relationship, what I realized was that that God was in charge of things, and what happened was, instead of that being a forever setback, we ended up growing to greater heights than we had grown before. And so I know this, that as long as we are in the world and we are dealing with the principalities and powers, and they're going to oppose the advancement of the kingdom of God. I'm not promising you that you are not going to face persecution. Some people think that pre-tribulation rapture people believe that we're just looking for the easy way out. No, I'm looking for God's way out. That's the reality. I believe that God wants to spare his people, not to not to harm his people. But there is coming a time when God says, today is the day that I am coming for my bride. Now, I will tell you this, whether you're pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or whatever tribulation view you hold, when the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. Whichever group was right and held the right view of eschatology, which is the study of end times, they are not going to be doing the wave on the way up, saying we were right, you were wrong. The point is not to be right theologically. The point is to be ready theologically. And we need to be ready for the trumpet to sound. We need to be ready. And here's the reality. We are not guaranteed that we're even going to make it home today without having some sort of life-altering event. I knew a man one time. He was doing a favor. He was ministering to someone. He was driving down the road and died while he was driving the automobile. He never made it to his destination. Actually, I know two people who literally died as they were driving. They didn't die because of an accident or anything like that. They died because of a health event that took place as they were driving down the road. When they got up that morning, they never thought that that was going to be the case, but they needed to be ready for eternity, and thank God both of those men were. So we need to be ready. Let me just go ahead and address the mid-tribulation thing, and that is that they believe that the church is going to go through half of the tribulation. And here's my thing on that. I need to be ready. I need to be spiritually mature enough that I can go through whatever I need to go through on a daily basis and continue to hold on to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and faith in his name. I don't want to be a wimpy Christian. I want to be a person of faith. There's an interesting scripture, and it says, when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? When you consider that that God has given to every man the measure of faith, and yet he speculates, he asks the question, guided by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. The thing that sparked Martin Luther's Reformation was the just shall live by faith. In 2015, the just continue to live by faith. We need to be of such a mindset that no matter what happens, no matter what occurs, we live by faith. And you might say, well, I just don't know if I could go through physical hardship. Well, I let me answer that question. In your flesh, you cannot do it. I can't do it. Our human nature looks for the easy way out. But what about if we are living with our faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if we are living in the grace of God, supplied by God? And I want to challenge you. Go back and read a book. It's a very old book. You can find the abridged version or the unabridged version of Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you will see that God equips his people with grace no matter what occurs. Now, I want to share with you, once again, I believe that God wants to spare his people from his wrath. I believe that God wants to equip people to be able to endure whatever persecution and tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Today I'm proclaiming to you an overcoming king, a victorious king, a king who delivers his people. And at the same time, if you go back and look at verse number 9, it says that while he's delivering the godly, he is reserving the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. There are some people who live as if there is never going to be a day of accountability, that they don't have to answer to anybody. And, you know, I think I've told you recently, I was told, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And this was over something very, very small, very trivial. Don't judge me. And so I want to tell you that today we are not necessarily here to judge. I'm not judging by my emotions. I'm not judging by anything. What I want to know is, what does God's word have to say? Because God's word is what is really matters. God's word is the standard, not my emotions, not what is popular, not what is politically or judicially mandated, but what does the word of God say? And the word of God says that there is a day of judgment that's coming. In fact, there are 2 days of judgment that are coming. I encourage you to be part of the first one. The first one is called the Bema Seat of Christ. It is not a judgment day about whether or not we are going to be saved. It is a judgment day about what have we done with this relationship with Jesus Christ. And it says that everything on that day is going to be tried by fire. And some things are going to show that they were wood and they were hay and they were stubble. But other things are going to come shining forth, refined in the fire, as gold and metal and precious stones. And so you and I, that is what everybody talks about the mansions that God has prepared for us. And those things are the works that God has prepared for us to do and that we did by faith. Today I want to ask you, has God called you? Has God challenged you? Has he been speaking to you about doing something for him, not that is safe, but that requires a faith commitment in him that says, if God doesn't accomplish this, it's never going to get done? You see, I truly believe in a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that we can ask or think or imagine. If it can come into my head, God is capable of doing something bigger than that, more powerful than that, more impactful than that. And so if it's praying for X number of persons who are bound by a substance to get delivered, I believe that he can do that. I'm crazy enough to believe that God can deliver a drug addict instantaneously from drugs. Now, I also know that he can deliver a drug addict through a 12-step program or through Teen Challenge. If you don't know what Teen Challenge is and you've got loved ones that are bound by drugs, they are a ministry. It was initially founded by David Wilkerson. He was pastoring a small church in Western Pennsylvania, I believe it was, and saw in the news these gang members who had done horrible things in New York City. Nicky Cruz was one of those people. He gave his heart to Jesus and became a renowned evangelist on his own right. But it was because a pastor said, you know what, I'm going to take the gospel to those people, but they've got to want to be changed. Nicky Cruz challenged him and said, you know, he held a knife up to him and he said, do you realize that with this knife that I could cut you into 1,000 pieces? And David Wilkerson's response says, it is true. You have a knife and you could cut me to 1,000 pieces, and every one of those 1,000 pieces would be crying out, I love you and Jesus loves you. It's not a safe ministry, but it's an effective ministry. But until people want to change, there is not going to be any change. And so Teen Challenge is available. If you have family members or loved ones that are bound by drugs and you'd like more information about that, you can contact us at the church. We will help make a connection there. But I want you to know, it is a full investment. It is not an outpatient thing. It's not even a drug treatment plan. It is a discipleship ministry, and they have various campuses throughout the state of Florida and around the globe. I'll share a testimony about them in just a moment, and that is this. Here in Florida, they have a teen girls program. They have a teen boys program. They have an adult women's program. They have an adult men's program, and actually on some of these, they have several different programs going on throughout the state. There are some countries that are closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet those countries have such a horrible drug problem that they contact Teen Challenge and say, would you please come to our country? And they said, you do realize that the reason for the success of our program is because of Jesus Christ. They said, we don't care about the theology. Our problem is so severe. Come in. We give you free rein to do whatever is necessary to help disciple men and women to get off of drugs and become productive members of society. That, so if that ministry can be of effect to you, if it can be a blessing to you, contact us and we can help make that connection a reality. But that ministry only works not because mama wants their kids off drugs, not because daddy wants their kids off drugs, not because a wife wants their husband off drugs or the husband wants their wife off drugs. It only happens when the person has come to that place that said, if Jesus doesn't help me, I'm never going to be delivered. So there is a judgment seat of Christ where we are rewarded for the things that we have done in faith. And so I pray today that you would allow God to begin to birth faith in your heart and develop faith that the people who know their God shall do great exploits. That we have some people at church and they have glorious testimonies, and we have others that are being used right now to make a difference. For those of you who prayed last month and shared the gospel, I just want to encourage you. You would be amazed what just a little bit of your time can make a difference. You know, whether it's taking time just to stop and talk to your neighbor out at the curb, or just to, hey, you know, I heard you were going through a rough time. Invest a little bit in them, because you will never know what God is able to do with those seeds. That's the first judgment. The judgment, the Bema Seat of Christ is a reward center for Christians. But I'm here to tell you, we also can miss it at times, and that's where the wood, hay, and the stubble comes up, and that stuff gets burned up and it gets forgotten. So I encourage you, keep your life clean. Keep your heart repentant. Ask constantly for the direction of the Lord. The second judgment seat is a seat that is found in the book of Revelation, and it is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You say, I don't necessarily like it when people talk theology. I want you to know that if you don't know what the Word of God teaches, then you will fall for anything. And so it's very important to know that there is a judgment day that is coming, and that judgment is quite simply this, and it's in Romans chapter 20, verse number 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, that first judgment, the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, is for people whose names were found in the book of life. The second judgment here is for those whose names were not found in the book of life, that they had not asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. They did not live by faith in the Son of God, and so they lived according to their works. And it says it didn't matter whether they were small or great. It didn't matter if they were men or women. It didn't matter what times epoch that they lived in here in society, what era. It just mattered this. What did you do with Jesus? And I'm here to tell you that when the person approached God and said, good master, he said, well, why do you call me good? And he said, there's none good but God. And so why do you call me good? And there are a lot of people who think that their works are good, but they have nothing to do with God. Today, I want to challenge you. I'm not here to say that we earn our salvation through works. That's not the case. The reality is we work for the kingdom because of the grace and the sovereignty of God. That's why we work for the kingdom. If we are not working for God, we are working for our own flesh, for our own satisfaction, for our own needs, and that is not what's going to grant us access into the throne of God. You say, what could possibly be worse than going to hell? I want you to know that hell is just a stopover. It's just a terminal waiting for the connecting flight. And because it says here that when the time of the great white throne judgment, this takes place after the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ comes and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, that after that everybody who's and amazingly enough, even after 1,000 years, there are people who will reject the lordship of Christ and reject his ways, and they will go off and follow Satan again. And here it says that death and hell will deliver up the dead who were in them. And I want you to know, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's two ways that can happen. Once is you can, the first one is you can say, you know what? I recognize that God is holy and he is just and he is merciful and he wants to forgive me of my sins. And you can say, God, please forgive me. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I bow to your lordship and your sovereignty. That's the best way. At the great white throne judgment, everybody is going to say, God, you are righteous. You are true. I see now that I was wrong. I was deceived. And I confess that you are the Lord. Unfortunately for those people, there's not a season for repentance. You see, right now, today is the day of salvation. This is our opportunity to repent and give God our heart, our soul, our mind, to give him our present and our future and say, God, do with me what is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. If you'd like to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life today, if you want to avoid that judgment that is coming where the outcome is already decided, today we can make that a reality. Just pray this prayer with me in your heart. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you that you are holy and you are just and you are merciful. Thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior to die upon the cross, to pay the penalty for my sins, to wipe them away so that they never affect me in a negative, they never influence me anymore. God, be the Lord of my life. Lead me and empower me by your word, so that I do not sin against you. We'll see you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."